conviction.
Today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 9. Chapter 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam is titled as Narada's Teaching to Vasudeva. In this chapter, specifically in chapter 5, Narada Muni is talking to Vasudeva about what is the condition of the lawbreakers of society, what is the condition or the destination of those people who do not abide by the instructions of Lord, who harbor an atheistic mentality within their heart. So what is the destination of such people? And there are a lot of verses which are following based on this theme. And in text number 9, the same thing is being elaborated by Narada Muni to Vasudeva.
Shriya Vibhutya Vijayena Vidyaya Vyagena Rupena Valena Karmana Jatatmayena Dhatiya Paheshvara Tato Vamanyanti Harishpriyam Karaha.
Shriya, by their opulence, wealth, etc. Vibhutya,
special abilities,
Abhijanena,
aristocratic heritage,
Vidyaya,
education,
Dhyagena, renunciation, Rupena,
beauty,
Balena,
strength,
Karmana,
performance of Vedic rituals,
Jata,
which is born,
Smayena,
by such pride,
Andha,
blinded,
Dhiya,
whose intelligence,
Saha Ishwaran,
along with the Supreme Lord Himself,
Sada,
the saintly devotees,
Avamanyanti,
they disrespect
Haripriyam,
who are very dear to Lord,
Karan,
cruel persons.
Translation.
The intelligence of cruel minded persons is blinded by false pride. The intelligence of cruel-minded persons is blinded by false pride based on great wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, education, renunciation, personal beauty, physical strength, and successful performance of Vedic rituals. Being intoxicated with this false pride, such cruel persons blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. The intelligence of cruel-minded persons is blinded by false pride based on great wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, education, renunciation, personal beauty, physical strength, and successful performance of Vedic rituals. Being intoxicated with this false pride, such cruel persons blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadamayam Sadasitva Sadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutana Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sadhujataram Sahagana Aruna Sanditam Sam Sajivam Sadvetam Tavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Aruna Shri Vishakam Vipancha E Krishna Sana Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Sap
సప్తకాంచనౌరీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభానుపేతేని ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే పంచాశదతనుభ్యశ్చ పాదంభ్యేభ్యశ్చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో ఐశ్వరేభ్యో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ రామ హరే హరే.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. By the conditioned soul originally belonged to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all attractive qualities. The moonshine is actually the reflected effulgence of the sun. Similarly, the living entity reflects for a brief time a particular quantity of the Lord's opulence. Not knowing this, atheistic persons become intoxicated by such reflected opulences, and thus blinded, they condemn themselves more and more by criticizing the Lord and His devotees. They are unable to understand how they have become abominable, and it is difficult to prevent them from going to hell. So basically, in this verse, Narad Muni is explaining to Vasudeva the mindset of atheistic persons. This word is very similar to what Maharani Kunti mentioned in the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, where she says, Janma Aishwarya Sutta Srivir E Dhamana Madha Puman Na Evarhati Abhidatumvai Swam Akinchana Gosaram. So there, she says that persons who are blinded with wealth, opulence, beauty, etc., these people cannot surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because their dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for acquisition of these abilities is not there. It's absent totally. So they, because they do not know that Krishna is the ability in man, they think that the abilities are something which is inherent in them and there is no cause or controller behind that. And there is nobody actually bestowing these abilities on them. So they get intoxicated with this false pride. And therefore for such people, the resolute determination for devotional service never takes place. And this verse is very similar. So this verse says that people who are blinded by wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, education, renunciation, etc., and who are also very adept at performing Vedic rituals, all these very factors give them enough pride, so they forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, there are personalities who have been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who had all these things with them. They had great wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, they had good education, they had renunciation, they had personal beauty, strength, and they were also very adept at performing Vedic rituals. There were such people in the Srimad Bhagavatam who are mentioned, who did not fall down despite having all these opulences. One such personality is Maharaj Indradyumna, who had all these qualities. Maharaj Indradyumna was the emperor of the entire universe. And obviously, one cannot be the emperor of the entire universe without great wealth, opulence and connections and so on and so forth. And he had great physical strength, otherwise how could he be the emperor of the universe? And he was also very adept at performing Vedic sacrifices. Maharaj Indradyumna was the epitome of Daivi Varanashrama Dharma. He was perfect at Varanashrama Dharma. Varanashrama Dharma, as all of you know, the objective of Varanashrama Dharma is to elevate a person gradually from the fallen state to the state of a pure devotee. And the proper implementation of Varanashrama Dharma in a society is largely incumbent upon the king, Because the king is the think tank. The king epitomizes the shared values in a society. So therefore, it is the duty of a king to pass down these shared values to the subject in a society. And the king has to be very clear that the aim of governance of any society is to lead the subject gradually towards self-realization. Unfortunately, the modern leaders themselves are atheistic and therefore they have no knowledge about the scriptures. So they are unable to lead mankind to self-realization. And that is the cause of all the problems in today's society. The reason we chose to speak about King Indradyumna today is because today is the auspicious occasion of Jagannath Rath Yatra. And the deities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Baldev and Srimati Subhadramai, all of them have manifested themselves before us so beautifully this morning. And in probably one or two hours time from now, we are going to have Jagannath Rath Yatra, where the Lord is going to come out and give his darshan to Melbourne. So we thought it would be a good idea to discuss something about Maharaj Indradyumna and how, what is the history behind this Jagannath Rath Yatra. Though sometimes it may be a repetition for some of you, but it is mentioned that by simply hearing the Lord's pastimes, one gets purified, even if it's a repetition, and one never gets bored and tired of the Lord's pastimes. Also, discussing the Lord's pastimes just before the Jagannath Rath Yatra will set us in the proper mood for going to the Jagannath Rath Yatra from here. So with all your blessings, I would like to speak a few words about this great pastime of the advent of Lord Jagannath. Now, it is mentioned that the most extensive information about Lord Jagannath is given in a scripture called as Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya. Lord Jagannath is also called as Purushottam because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya is a scripture which is actually a section of what is called as the Skanda Purana. Now, as many of the South Indian people here will know, Skanda is referred, we refer to Lord Murugan as Skanda. So in the Skanda Purana, it is mentioned that Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those of us who think and who have come with a mindset thinking that Lord Skanda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is, this is news for them. So in the Skanda Purana itself it is mentioned. Now in the Skanda Purana, it is very clearly mentioned as to how Lord Jagannath, why did he appear and how did he appear in this material world to perform his pastimes. So it mentions that long ago there was a rishi by the name Jaimini Rishi. And this Jaimini Rishi, the context is very similar to Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami is seated and the sages of Naimisaranya are asking him various questions. That's how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. And in the Skanda Purana, especially in Purushottam Kshetra Mahatmya, also the context is very similar, except that the speaker here is Jaimini Rishi. And then the quality and the nature of the audience is very similar to that of the sages at Naimisaranya. So these sages are asking Jaimini Rishi about Purushottam Kshetra, which is no other place but Jagannath Puri. It's the same place called as Purushottam Kshetra. So Jaimini Rishi is explaining to them that this Purushottam Kshetra is in a planet called as planet Earth, which is in the middle planetary systems. And he mentions that simply desiring to worship or to visit this place, simply desiring to visit this Purushottam Kshetra can deliver one from all sinful reaction. What to speak of a person actually doing a yatra to Jagannath Puri? Not that, but what to speak of the residents of Jagannath Puri who are eternally residing there in this lifetime. So that is the glory. Simply by desiring to visit Jagannath Puri, one can get rid of all sinful reaction. So he mentions that in the central part of that holy land of Bharatvarsh, on the northeastern side, there is a blue hill by the name Nilachal, which he says resembles the bosom of Mother Earth viewed from a distance. So Jaimini Rishi went on to describe the advent of Lord Jagannath, where he started by describing the state when Lord Brahma created the Visarga. As we discussed in the earlier classes, Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is the primary creation and Visarga is the secondary creation, where the material, where Lord Brahma is engaged in converting the material elements which have been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead into the various elements that form all our bodies and that form all of matter today. So that process of converting the primary creation into this material world is called as a secondary creation or the
visarga.
So when Lord Brahmaji was sitting on the lotus flower and he was about to create, to engage in this process of secondary creation, pleased with the austerities of Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu appeared before him. Now Lord Brahma knew, just like, you know, if we are creating a jail, it's not a very nice place to be, a jail. So the person who is architecting the jail, obviously at the back of the mind, thinks that this is going to be a very miserable place. And he feels, if he's a person who has, you know, a little bit of compassion in his heart, he feels that, okay, I'm creating this jail, but it's not a very nice place for people to be in. So he feels some compassion. Similarly, Lord Brahma is also feeling compassion for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga while creating this visarga. And in that compassionate mood, he is asking Lord Vishnu, saying that what is the hope for deliverance for these fallen souls? To which Lord Vishnu tells him that in this material world which you are currently creating in planet Earth, towards the south of the Mahanadi River, there is a place called as Jagannath Puri or Purushottam Kshetra, where if one goes and resides, one can become purified from all sorts of contaminations and return back to the spiritual world in this very lifetime. So Lord Vishnu is reiterating the same point which earlier Jaimini Rishi was telling the sages. And Lord Vishnu is saying that this Purushottam Kshetra is never affected by the creation or by the annihilation process. Now, as Lord Brahma was hearing this from Lord Vishnu, there was a lake which was there in Purushottam Kshetra, which Lord Brahma saw. And he saw that in this lake, a crow was flying down. As all of you know, a crow is one of the lowest birds that any soul can get. Because what does the crow, what does the crow do? A crow sits on garbage and sucks the juice from garbage. So that is the nature of a crow. So it's an abominable bird. But here, what happened was, Lord Brahma saw that a crow was coming from the sky, and the crow came into a pond which was there in Purushottam Kshetra and just touched the pond and then started flying again. But the moment it touched the pond and started flying again, the body of the crow changed from that of a crow to that of a four-armed deity form of Vishnu. So it is said that in Vaikuntha, people who have Salokya Mukti, most of them have a form, in fact all of them have a form very similar to the form of Lord Vishnu. So Brahmaji verily saw this with his own eyes, that the crow was directly getting a body very similar to Lord Vishnu simply by dipping into a pond in Purushottam Kshetra. This pond incidentally is called as Rohini Kund. Now, as most of you know, nowadays there is a recession going on in the economy and most of us are worried about our jobs, right? So if somebody else is doing our job, then we know that, you know, any time the management can tell us to get out of our, you know, jobs and we will become jobless. So this is the worry in everyone's mind. So unfortunately Yamaraj Ji was also here, okay, along with Lord Brahma. And when Yamaraj saw that a crow, an abominable creature like the crow, can simply dip in Rohini Kund and get delivered, then I will become jobless. Because all the sinful persons of the world will simply dip in this Rohini Kund, so there will be no work for me. So he was sensing a recession in his mind. And he was very concerned. So, and then in his concern, he started asking Vishnu, what about me now? What is my job in this material world? So as he was lamenting, Goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, appeared before Yamaraji and said, yes, you are correct. There are lot of places in this material world where you can do your job very nicely, but you shall not reside here. This place is not meant for you as well as for Brahma, because this is virtually the spiritual world which has descended into this material world. So this is the glory of Jagannath Puri. So when Yamaraji heard this, he requested Lakshmi Devi, if this is such a glory place, why don't you then tell us some more details about this glory place and glorious place, and what is the reason why this place is so revered in this material world.
So Lakshmi Devi starts speaking about the glories of Purushottam Kshetra. She starts by describing the glories of Markandeya Rishi. So this Markandeya Rishi was a very elevated soul, and because of his austerity and his tapasya, he was blessed with an incredibly long life of 7 kalpas. One kalpa is one day of Brahma, which contains 1000 cycles of Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yuga. That is one day of Brahma and one kalpa. Like that, 7 kalpas was the duration, lifespan of Markandeya Rishi.
So obviously, if Markandeya Rishi is going to survive 7 kalpas, that means he has the opportunity to see how annihilation takes place and still go through it without any bodily injury, physical harm to him.
So when the material world was being annihilated, during the temporary annihilation which happens after a day of Brahma, that time Markandeya Rishi saw with his very eyes that how powerful the devastation of the material world can be.
And as he was witnessing everything being destroyed in this material world, huge waves were coming and all the trees were being tossed here and there. He could not see any mankind for miles and miles. And the whole world was submerged inside the waters. At that time, when Markandeya Rishi was bewildered looking at it, he discovered a small island to which nothing had happened. And in this small island, he witnessed a young banyan tree. And on top of the banyan tree, he witnessed a small baby who was lying on one of the branches of the banyan tree. And this baby was extremely effulgent. And this baby was taking its own toe and sucking its own toe. So, no guesses for, no prizes for guessing who is this.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna,
as an infant boy, was lying there on a particular leaf attached to that branch. And as the Lord was sucking his own toes, Markandeya Rishi went closer to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the small child. And when he went closer, the child started inhaling deeply. When the child inhaled deeply, through the holes of the child's nose, Markandeya Rishi was also inhaled inside. And Markandeya Rishi went inside the child's body. And when he went inside this child's body, he saw all the 14 planetary systems manifest inside the body of his child. And not only that, he saw the entire Himalayan mountains, he saw this entire universe, material universe. And also he saw himself sitting there. Just like Yashoda mother, when Lord Krishna opened the mouth, saw herself. Similarly, Markandeya Rishi also saw himself. And as he was admiring all this, the Lord unfortunately exhaled. And then Markandeya Rishi popped out of the nose of the Lord back into the material world. So this was enough for Markandeya Rishi to realize that this was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And having understood this, he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please reveal to me why this particular tract of land remains unaffected even during cosmic devastation. And then the Lord revealed to him that this tract of land is the same Purushottam Kshetra or Jagannath Puri, and it is never influenced by material creation or destruction. And those who live here never have to get into the womb of any mother in this material world. So as the devastation gradually calmed down, Markandeya Rishi sat down and performed yogic meditation. As soon as he started performing yogic meditation, Lord Shiva certainly started appearing inside his heart. So when Markandeya Rishi opened his eyes, he found this Lord Shiva who had manifested in his heart was appearing right in front of him, along with Umadevi. And Lord Shiva and Umadevi were very pleased with the austerity of Markandeya Rishi. So they asked him, please ask us for any benediction today. We want to bless you. So Markandeya Rishi, the pure devotee that he was, did not ask for anything material, but he simply asked for unflinching devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So pleased with this intention, this mood of Markandeya Rishi, Lord Shiva gave him few benedictions that he will enjoy fame and freedom from old age and death. Also, he will have perfect knowledge of past, present and future, Trikala Jnani. And not only that, he will have transcendental realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
and he will be known as an ideal Brahmana and an ideal spiritual master. So Markandeya Rishi will be known as an Acharya for the years to come. So these are the blessings which Lord Shiva bestowed upon Markandeya Rishi. So Markandeya Rishi, having taken these blessings, he remained in Purushottam Kshetra and started worshipping a Shivaling called as Markandeshwar. So Lakshmi Devi was explaining all this to Yamaraj and Lord Brahma about Markandeya Rishi. She said that the Purushottam Kshetra or Jagannath Puri is formed like the silhouette of a conch shell. The sea having come in contact with that sacred land is called as Tirtharaj. The sea which comes in contact with Jagannath Puri is called as Tirtharaj, and simply by bathing in this one can be freed from all offences. Then Lakshmi Devi addressed Lord Brahma and told him that she predicted that when the advent of Satyayuga, when Satyayuga happens eventually, now that the creation is started, there will be one king called as Maharaj Indrajumna, to who you have to instruct that king. So Lakshmi Devi tells Brahma and instructs him that Lord Brahma has to in turn instruct Maharaj Indrajumna to perform 1000 Ashwamedha Yajnas in this place and to worship the deity of Lord Narsingadev, so that Lord Jagannath will appear in that place. So she gives these instructions to Lord Brahma and to Yamaraj, and then the goddess of fortune returns to her abode. Now Jaimini Rishi is narrating all these concerns to the sages who are sitting there, and the sages are, you know, very eager to know who is this personality, who is Maharaj Indrajumna. So as most of you know, Maharaj Indrajumna was the emperor of the universe, and he used to have his capital city in a place called as Avanti. Now Maharaj Indrajumna was not like the modern day Kevidrad, devoid of any sense of self-realization. His interest, in fact, in spiritual wisdom much exceeded his interest in military strategy. So that was the kind of king that he was. So therefore Maharaj Indrajumna was referred to as Raj Rishi or saintly king, because he truly upheld the values of Daivi Varnashrama Dharma. So one day when Maharaj Indrajumna was seated in his court and he was surrounded by various poets, various scholars, various magicians, astrologers as well as mendicants, he evinced a desire to worship the most holy place in this universe. And as he mentioned this, he also said that he would like to have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, and that was his most intense desire. So one of the travelling mendicants who was sitting in the assembly, he had long matted locks. So this mendicant immediately got up and said that, yes, I have visited such a place. During my childhood, I have visited a place called as Purushottam Kshetra, which has got lot of dense forests, and there is a hill over there which is called as Nilagiri. Now he said that in the center of this Nilagiri is a large Kalpavriksha tree, and under the Kalpavriksha tree the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest as Nila Madhava. And he also said that close to the tree is a lake called as Rohini Kund, where even if a crow takes bath, the crow can go back to the spiritual world immediately. So when Maharaj Indrajumna heard this from his mendicant in his kingdom, his desire to go and visit Purushottam Kshetra intensified further. And immediately he gave an instruction to his subject to go and find out and search out where Lord Nila Madhava resides in Purushottam Kshetra. Now he had a minister who had a brother called as Vidyapati. So Maharaj Indrajumna's minister's brother was named Vidyapati, who was a very intelligent and learned Brahmana. And Vidyapati took the onus of fulfilling this desire of Maharaj Indrajumna on himself, and he said, "I will go out and search this place where Lord Nila Madhava resides." And having said so, Vidyapati started travelling towards Nilachal. After travelling for a few days, he reached what is called as the Mahanadi River. So, Vidyapati stopped and rested in this Mahanadi River.
and continued the next morning on his journey, more and more eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Nila Madhava. So as he was crossing, Vidyapati came across lush green tropical forests, and all these forests were very very effulgent, and it was very beautiful because from in between the trees the sunlight used to come as very powerful rays. So he realized that this was not an ordinary place in the material place, in the material world. And as he was walking into the forest, as soon as he entered the sacred Tirtha Kshetra, or what is called as Sri Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, Vidyapati immediately offered his obeisances to Lord Vishnu, who fell down flat on the ground, took the dust of Purushottam Kshetra and applied it all over his body. And then he continued his journey towards the bluish hill known as Nilagiri. The forest started becoming thicker and thicker, and after few hours of walking, Vidyapati felt very exhausted and sat down to take rest. As soon as he sat down to take rest, in a few minutes, he found a group of tribal woodsmen called as Sabaras. These tribal woodmen were working in the forest, and there was a chief by the name, these tribal woodsmen had a chief whose name was Vishwavasu. Now, the chief of the tribal saw this learned Brahmana, Vidyapati, and welcomed him and invited him for food and refreshment. And they inquired from Vidyapati, what is the purpose of your visit to Purushottam Kshetra? So Vidyapati very candidly replied to them that I have come here to fulfill the desire of Maharaj Indradyumna, who wants to have darshan of Nila Madhava. So the head of the tribal, Vishwavasu, he was very disturbed on hearing this, because he knew basically the tribals were a set of simple minded people, and their worship of Lord was very simple and devoid of any pride, envy, very very simple minded people. So he knew that if Maharaj Indradyumna eventually comes from the city to rule this particular kingdom, this whole place could become commercialized. So and our simple worship of Sri Sri Nila Madhava will now become very complicated. So therefore he harbored all these worries inside his mind. However, because he was simple once again, he did not lie to the Brahmana, and he said, yes, I promise you that I will show you the place of Nila Madhava. And then saying so, Vishwavasu took him to the banks of Rohini Kund, and under the Kalpavriksha tree, Vidyapati had darshan of Lord Nila Madhava. Now there are various versions. When you watch the serial Abhay Charan, even in Abhayacharan serial also this pastime is given. However, there it is mentioned that that Vishwavasu put a condition on Vidyapati that you must come blindfolded. So the pastime was that Vidyapati was blindfolded, and as he was going to visit Nila Madhava, he carried mustard seeds in his hand, which he kept dropping all along the way, so that he can retrace those steps back when he brings in Maharaj Indradyumna eventually. So there are different versions. But of course, the way of reconciling this is that this pastime keeps, it's a Nitya Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in different material universes, this Leela would have its own subtle variation. So that is a way of understanding these pastimes. So Vidyapati, on seeing, having darshan of Lord Nila Madhava right in front of his eyes under the Kalpa Vriksha tree, immediately bowed down and offered his respects and started praying to Lord Nila Madhava. And after that, he returned to the village of the Sabaras. When he returned to the village of the Sabaras after taking darshan of Nila Madhava, the Sabaras offered him prasadam. Now Vidyapati found that this prasadam was not of this material world. It was extremely opulent. So now we all know that a tribal woodsman will not be able to afford, by virtue of his occupation, such opulent prasadam. So Vidyapati asked Vishwavasu, how come you can give me such opulent prasadam? Because after all, you are just simple tribal men. To which the tribal men replied to him, saying that this is the place where Lord Nila Madhava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, resides. And in this place, every day, the entire celestial kingdom, all the heavenly planets and the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, including Indra, Chandra, Varuna, everyone, they all descend every day to offer flowers and very opulent bhoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what we are offering you right now is verily that same
prasadam. So that explained why his prasadam was so opulent. So having taken permission from the tribalsmen, Vidyapati proceeded back to meet Maharaj Indrajumna. Now, after Vidyapati departed from there, before he could reach the kingdom of Maharaj Indrajumna, unfortunately, Lord Neelamadava disappeared from that place.
What happened was, as soon as he started preparing the articles of worship
for Lord Neelamadava, the tribalsmen, after Vidyapati left, when they were preparing to worship Neelamadava, fierce winds started blowing and all the trees started coming down. Trees were suddenly ripped, there was a violent tropical storm there. And as this was happening, the deity of Lord Neelamadava also disappeared. So Vishwavasu and the others immediately sensed feelings of separation from Neelamadava and fell almost unconscious. They searched for Lord Neelamadava everywhere, but they could not find. Even the demigods who had come down could not find Neelamadava the day that Vidyapati left that place. However, suddenly they heard a pleasing ethereal voice vibrating from the sky, which said, "From this day onwards, Lord Neelamadava will not be seen in this world. The Lord will however appear in another form when Maharaj Indrajumna returns. Do not fear and remain patient." So this was the voice which was heard. So Vidyapati also heard this voice. And Vidyapati finally arrived back at Avanti. When he arrived at Avanti, King Indrajumna worshipped him with all opulence. Normally, we see a similar mood between King Prataparudra and Ramanandaraya. Though Ramanandaraya was only a subject in Maharaj Prataparudra's kingdom, Maharaj Prataparudra treated Ramanandaraya very well and did not see any difference as a king and a subject. Similar mood we see here, that King Indrajumna welcomed Vidyapati as a messenger of God and worshipped and washed his feet and gave him all the respect that he deserved. And then he inquired about whether he found Purushottam Kshetra, and Vidyapati told him that yes, he has indeed found Purushottam Kshetra. He was very happy. So immediately Maharaj Indrajumna washed the sage's feet and instructed all his disciples that let us start for Purushottam Kshetra. He instructed his entire kingdom to pack up and said that all of you move out of your houses and come to Purushottam Kshetra. Now as he was giving this instruction, Srila Narad Muni also appeared there, and King Indrajumna requested Narad Muni that, "Can you please accompany me? Because you are a person who can travel anywhere. You have a free passport anywhere, spiritual and material world. So definitely you can help us locate Neelamadava. So you can travel anywhere. So by traveling with you, we will definitely find the Supreme Personality of Godhead once again." So Narad Muni knew that King Indrajumna was a pure devotee. Therefore, he conceded to the request. He accepted and said that, "Yes, I will accompany you." So Maharaj Indrajumna gave the entire order to the kingdom, "Pack all your belongings and accompany me to Nilachal." Now obviously, because Maharaj Indrajumna was a pure devotee, he was very well respected by his subjects. For example, if Kevin Rudd tells us today, "Pack up everything and let's go to Europe," everybody, very soon, you know what will happen. He has to step down from his position. There will be riots in Melbourne. But the king or the leaders of those days were not like that. They were highly self-realized. So Maharaj Indrajumna was highly respected. People knew that this was a genuine leader. So they were willing to immediately drop their possession and just travel along with the king to Purushottam Kshetra. So with his entire entourage, the monarch of the entire world left for Purushottam Kshetra. And as he was travelling to Purushottam Kshetra, when they reached the area of Nilachal, he found that the entire area of Nilachal was covered with sand and the deity of Neelamadava was buried and he could no longer have darshan of this. So hearing this, King Indrajumna felt very faint, but he tried to conceal his emotions. What had happened was, when even before he reached Nilachal, the king of Utkal, Utkal is the modern day Orissa, met him and Narad Muni. And the king of Utkal, even before Narad Muni could tell this bad news to Maharaj Indrajumna, the king of Utkal broke this news. However, Narad Muni at that time did not worsen the situation further for Maharaj Indrajumna, and he did not say anything. So, but nevertheless, King Indradumna had some small hope that maybe whatever the king of Utkal is saying may not be true, and I will still find Lord Nilamadava. And Lord Narad Muni did not do anything to destroy the faith of King Indradumna at that point in time. So, but still, Maharaj Indradumna, having heard that Lord Nilamadava has disappeared from the king of Utkal, started lamenting to Narad Muni, saying that all our endeavor is now useless. We have come such a long way from Avanti to Nilachal. So what will happen of us? And then Srila Narad Muni told Maharaj Indradumna that in devotion, patience and tolerance is very important. So, you know, everything is not going to be very hunky-dory in devotional life. So the Lord is not going to be attained so cheaply. There will be a lot of struggles in between, but because you are a pure devotee of the Lord, if you endeavor with patience and determination, you will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face.
So having got this assurance, both of them proceeded with the entire entourage towards the darshan of Lord Nilamadava. So travelling further, they heard in the distance sounds of ringing bells and the blow of conch shell.
And King Indradumna thought that he has actually reached Nilachal.
So he inquired from Narada,
is this the divine abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
To which Narada Muni said, no, this is the abode of Gauri's husband, who is Lord Shiva.
So, having said this, then Srila Narada Muni narrated the pastime of how Lord Shiva married Sati, the daughter of Prajapati Daksha, and how the entire pastime there was a king called as Paundraka who wanted to imitate Lord Krishna, and then how Lord Shiva sided with Paundraka at that time, and then eventually gave him lot of powers. In fact, Lord Shiva gave him a power by which, you know, by tantric yoga he can summon a demon who can kill the entire who can destroy the entire kingdom, and how despite Lord Shiva's benedictions and the fact that Paundraka became very powerful, Lord Krishna himself came and killed Paundraka. But what happened was, Lord Shiva, because he sided with Paundraka and gave benedictions which were not anukul or which were pratikul to Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva was very ashamed and very repentant. And in his repentance, he offered a lot of prayers to Lord Krishna, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead eventually appeared in front of Lord Shiva and gave him a benediction that I allow you to reside in Purushottam Kshetra. And that was the exact place which now Narada and Indradumna Maharaj reached. So King Indradumna and others, the moment they saw Lord Shiva personally manifesting in front of themselves, Lord Shiva appeared and asked him, what benediction can I give you? And then King Indradumna again asked Lord Shiva, saying that I want to see the deity of Srila Nilamadava. So Lord Shiva told him that please continue with your conquest and you will have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, unseen by the others, he came privately to Srila Narada Muni and told him, when you arrive at Purushottam Kshetra, you will find that the deity of Lord Nilamadava is missing there. So what you have to do is, you instruct Maharaj Indradumna to install a deity of Lord Narsingadev instead there and offer sacrifices to him, and also do perform 1000 Ashmaveda Yajnas. After these rituals, Vishwakarma, the celestial architect, will personally arrive and help you. And he said that your father, Lord Brahma, will also personally come to install a deity carved from wood. So having said this, Lord Shiva disappeared from that place. So as the horsemen approached the holy land of Purushottam Kshetra, King Indradumna felt a strange quivering in his left eye, and his left arm was also twitching. So these signs were not very auspicious. So Maharaj Indradumna got very bewildered, and he asked Narada Muni, why is this happening to me? Is there some bad news that you are about to give me?
So Narada Muni explained to him, don't worry,
remain steady in your determination. Lord Nilamadava has disappeared from the vision of the mortal human being, and he will no longer be seen in this world. So he said that jor ka jhatka dheere se dena. So Lord Narada Muni gave the bad news very subtly to King Indradumna. So having heard this, King Indradumna immediately fainted.
And with great
difficulty, he regained his
consciousness.
And when he regained his consciousness, he started lamenting,
"My dear Lord, what sinful deeds have I performed in my past life to deserve this fate?
What special merit has Vidyapati, my subject, he has performed so that he had your darshan
and now I am not having your darshan?" And he said that if I, he told Naradmuni that if I cannot have the darshan of Lord Hari,
this kingdom and opulence means nothing to me. Therefore, please arrange for my son's coronation. I am going to go and do meditation and or I will commit suicide. So, hearing all this lamentation, Naradmuni again reiterated to Maharaj Indrajumna, "Those who desire shreyas or long-lasting benefits must develop patience." And he said, human life meant for understanding our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we do not remain equipoised despite all these difficulties, then we will never attain our goal of self-realization. So he also mentioned to, further he added, Narad Muni told Maharaj Indrajumna that Lord Brahma instructed me to accompany you on this adventure.
Lord Lila Madhava disappeared
due to some anxiety in the mind of Lord Yamaraj. You remember the example of recession which we discussed earlier. So Yamaraji was the culprit.
Because of his anxiety, Lila Madhava disappeared from there. But he said that the Supreme Lord will soon appear again in a unique form, especially to fulfill your earnest desire.
Lord Brahma himself is anxious to install this deity of Lord Jagannath, which will be, when the temple will be built by you and your subjects. So the king and his people gradually travelled to this place called as Nilakanta. They continued on their journey and they came to a clearing where they saw a ferocious deity of
Lord Narasimhadev.
Now, when they saw Lord Narasimhadev, immediately Lord Narada instructed Maharaj Indrajumna to start worshipping the deity of
Lord Narasimhadev.
So the deity of Lord Narasimhadev was taken by Narada to the celestial world and again brought back in 4 days' time. And within these 4 days' time, Narada instructed Maharaj Indrajumna that you build a temple for Narasimhadev. So in 4 days' time flat, a temple of Narasimhadev was built and Sri Narada came back with the deity of Lord Narasimhadev and installed it in the temple and they started worshipping this deity. And after, so the first phase of whatever the requirements of seeing Lord Nila Madhava in the form of Lord Jagannath was fulfilled. And now the time was to perform 1000 Ashwamedha Yajnas.
So Vishwakarma, who is the celestial architect, arrived with a host of heavenly associates and supervised the building or the sacrificial arena where this Ashwamedha Yajna was to be performed.
And on the day of the Ashwamedha Yajna, all the demigods, including Indra, descended. And all the demigods started giving blessings to Maharaj Indrajumna during the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna and asked them, "What is it that we can bless you with?" To which again Maharaj Indrajumna said that, "I do not desire anything, but I want to have darshan of Lord Nila Madhava, who has disappeared from this earth." So as the Ashwamedha Yajna was progressing, at the end of the 7th night of the Ashwamedha Yajna, King Indrajumna had a visionary dream. And in this dream, he saw the Lord of the universe in his abode at Shvetagiri, a white island in the ocean of milk. King Indrajumna saw that Lord Anantadev as a huge serpent with thousands of hoods, each decorated with dazzling jewels. 2 terrible and fearful eyes looking out of each of Anantadev's hoods. He saw this vision in his dream. His body was white and his neck and tongues were bluish. And Lord Purushottama was laying comfortably on Anantadev's soft white body. And Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, was massaging the Lord's lotus feet. So Maharaj Indrajumna had darshan of Lord Purushottama lying on Anantadev. Upon awakening from this dream, he asked Naradmuni, "What is the meaning of this dream?" And Naradmuni said that you have had darshan of the Lord of the universe and he has revealed himself to you in this form. You should not speak of this form to others, but continue with your Ashwamedha Yajna at this point in time. So later that day, as the final Yajna was taking place, some citizens were returning from bathing in the sea. And they said that when we were bathing in the sea, O king, we saw a magnificent tree floating in the ocean waves. They said that this tree is not any ordinary log. They could smell its luster, its fragrance from a sweet fragrance even from a distance, and there was an uncommon luster in this particular log. And when they went closer in this log, they found all the symbols of Lord Vishnu upon it. So when the king heard this, he asked Narad Muni, to which Narad Muni said that for the benefit of all fallen conditioned souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will reveal himself in a form which is carved out of wood. This form of the deity is called as Arshavigraha, or the form of the Lord that can be easily appreciated by even the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. So you must go to the seashore and bathe in the sea and arrange to have that log brought here to the sacrificial altar. So having got instructions from Maharaj Indradyumna, all the devotees gathered there at the sacrificial altar and they brought this log there, and the king started very opulently worshipping this particular log of wood. So once the tree was in place, the king again performed many rituals, and as he was performing these rituals, he heard a supernatural voice which told him this sacred daru or wood should now be covered. A carpenter will soon appear with his tools to carve the proper form of the Lord. Because Maharaj Indradyumna, though he saw the log, he did not know what to do with the log. And he did not know in what form the Lord will manifest himself. Therefore, this prophecy came. And then the voice said that the carpenter will soon arrive. But the condition was that this carpenter should be allowed to work in complete privacy. And while carving this, there should be no one who should visit this place. So Lord, it is mentioned in the scriptures that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, came as Vishwakarma, empowered incarnation, and then carved out this deity of Lord Jagannath. So the deity carving was begun, and soon the carpenter arrived and the carpenter started carving the deity. One more condition which was mentioned was not only should no one open the door when the deities are being carved, but nobody should even hear the sounds of the tools which were used to carve this particular deity. And if anyone hears the sounds of this tool, then the Lord will not manifest himself. Not only that, the whole of the town will be, city will be ruined. So with all, there are so many conditions. So the carpenter started carving this particular deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, after a few days, they found that the noise of tools was absent. So Maharaj Indradyumna got worried whether the carpenter is actually inside and whether he is alive, because the carpenter did not take any food or water during the time of carving. So he saw that the carpenter must have collapsed by now. So in his inquisitiveness, he opened the deity doors, and when he opened the deity doors, what he saw in front of him was completely bewildering, because what he had earlier imagined was that the Lord will manifest as he had manifested in the dream, Ananta Shesha, and then Lord Vishnu sleeping, Lord Purushottama sleeping on the Anasarishtra. Instead, he found that this deity was incompletely carved, and that is the same deity what we see in the altar here. Apparently it was incomplete, with big eyes and with hands which are shrunk inside, right, with very little feet. So with very tiny feet, right? So he saw this incomplete form of the Lord. So immediately Maharaj Indradyumna started, lamenting, saying that this is not the form of the Lord which we expected. I must have done some aparad because of which the Lord has manifested in this form. To which then Narad Muni came and explained to him, saying that this is the form in which the Lord has chosen to advent himself in Kali Yuga for the benefit of mankind. And this deity will be called as Jagannath Baldevan Subhadra. So that is how the Lord manifested in this world, in Purushottam Kshetra. That is the entire pastime. Now, Lord Maharaj Indradyumna, definitely because of his mercy, Lord Jagannath manifested in this world. However, the fact that all of us have come to know of Lord Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra is because of another great personality, none other than Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada, who brought this worship, this knowledge of Lord Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra to the Western countries. So Srila Prabhupada and his very early disciples, Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji, they were actually responsible in ISKCON for internalization of Lord Jagannath. The pastime was that when Srila Prabhupada was in the West and he had just established ISKCON, this was sometime in 1967. 1965 Srila Prabhupada came to the US and 1967, what happened was, one fine day, Malati Mataji, she was shopping in one of the, you know, like a $2 shop or whatever, we often go and pick up a lot of trinkets and ornaments. She was shopping somewhere, and because of her love for Srila Prabhupada, she always, you know, loved anything which is made in India, because Srila Prabhupada was from India. So when she went to the shop, so she picked up a small deity of Lord Jagannath. It was not a deity in that sense, it was actually a locket. It was a showpiece which she picked up, and she brought it, and then she showed it to Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada saw it, he immediately paid obeisances and said that this is Lord Jagannath, he is none other than Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada told her, did you find any similar dolls there in that shop? Go back and check. So she went back to the shop and she said that yes, it's a set of three. There is one more, you know, personality who is white in color, and there is one more personality, a lady, who is saffron in color. So she came to Prabhupada and said, okay, bring all three of them here. So then she brought all three of them and showed it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada immediately concluded that through this pastime, Lord Jagannath wants to manifest in the Western countries. And immediately he ordered Shamsundar Prabhu, who actually had some good knowledge of carving out deities. He told him, Shamsundara, now your duty is that you carve out deities of Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. And So with the mercy of Shamsundar Prabhu, the first deities of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, large size deities, were established in San Francisco temple. And in San Francisco temple, Srila Prabhupada also instructed and taught all the disciples how to actually perform aarti to Lord Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra. So he installed the deities and he gave instructions to all the devotees to worship Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra through the proper worship of Pancharatriki Vidhi. And then Srila Prabhupada decided that it is not only enough to worship Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra within the temple, but we should have our own Nathyatra. So here, Srila Prabhupada empowered Jayanand Prabhu, who all of you know. Jayanand Prabhu was a taxi driver in San Francisco who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada and made his entire mission of his life to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada. So it was Jayanand Prabhu who originally went out on the streets to collect funds for Lord Jagannath. Though the people who Jayanand Prabhu was dealing with, they had no idea of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they were actually, you know, hardened criminals, many of them. But because Jayanand Prabhu was very popular with them, because of his behavior and relationship with them, they did not even hesitate to give anything to Lord Jagannath. They said, we don't know Lord Jagannath, but we know you, Jayananda. And because you are into this movement, Lord Jagannath and Srila Prabhupada and the movement must be very special. So like that, Jayananda Prabhu went and collected a lot of funds, and because of that funds, the first Jagannath Rath Yatra was established in San Francisco. And Srila Prabhupada, in fact, saw the cart of Lord Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada had already envisioned, and he gave a drawing to Shamsundar Prabhu and asked him to design this cart. And Srila Prabhupada saw, you know, one day on the freeway, there was one Hertz rental truck, open truck which was going. And Srila Prabhupada thought, let me use this as the Rath cart for the first ever Rath Yatra. So the entire canopy which was carved out by Shamsundar Prabhu along with the deities of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the San Francisco temple was kept in this Hertz rental truck, and that was the first ever Rath Yatra of ISKCON in San Francisco. So from San Francisco onwards, Srila Prabhupada obviously established, you know, 108 temples all throughout the world, and in each and every city Srila Prabhupada established Rath Yatra festival. So today is the auspicious day of Rath Yatra festival, and we are also having the same festival in the temple of Melbourne, which is at 10 o'clock. So all of us will, in this mood of Maharaj Indrajumna, we will leave from the temple now and assemble at Swanston Street and then witness this grand event taking place, unfolding before our own eyes in the city of Melbourne. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rathra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.